As we gather on this Easter Sunday morning, I am not naive enough to think that in spite of our Easter clothes and all those sorts of things, that everybody comes here with everything perfect and wonderful in your life. I mean, the reality is when people come to church, they're carrying stuff with them. I'm grateful that you chose to be here today. I realize there are a lot of other places you could have been. Some are here because you finally gave in to your wife or your mom and said, yeah, I'm going to come on Easter Sunday. Some of you came because it is Easter Sunday, and that's what you're supposed to do on Easter Sunday, right? Some came because it's Sunday, and that's what you do every Sunday. But whatever your reason for being here today, I'm glad you chose to be here. I realize in a room this size that in spite of appearances, there are a lot of open wounds, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of empty hearts here today. You're hurting. Life is not what you thought it would be or what you wanted it to be, and I don't want you to leave here today carrying that hurt any longer. I don't want you I want you to see that you can fill that void in your life only through Jesus Christ today. As corny as it may sound today, I want to remind you that Jesus cares. Jesus cares about every detail of your life. And loves you more than you could even begin to imagine. And more than anything, he doesn't want to see you pay the price for your sin when he has already paid the price for your sin. So we celebrate Easter because Jesus rose from the grave and he claimed the victory over death. And we have a reason to celebrate because he is alive and well. So if you're in a difficult place today and asking yourself this morning, who cares? I want to show you from the Word of God that I know Jesus cares. He cares for those who already know him and for those who have yet to trust in him as their Savior. Jesus even cares about the small stuff in our lives. So I want us to take a look at a text that reminds us of this wonderful truth on Easter Sunday. So Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place, but many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, this place is deserted and it's already late. They really do check to see if it works, and it works. For some reason, it wants to act up on Sunday. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. Kim, you're going to have to take over. Sorry, it's just not cooperating. You give them something to eat, he responded. They said to him, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is not a truth among many truths, but is the truth. Lord, we thank you that you indeed rose from the grave, that you confirmed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Lord, these words that we read today is from you. It is your truth. God, open our hearts and minds to hear from you today. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, Lord, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to take a look at a few ways that we see that that see Jesus' care for others on clear display in this text. So first of all, we see Jesus cared for his disciples. Jesus cared for his disciples. The section of chapter 6 that we just read comes after Jesus had sent out his disciples. He had told them basically to take nothing with them, to go wherever they went and to stay with whomever took them in first, and just trust the Lord to provide. Word spread about the work that they were doing, and Herod Antipas was afraid that John the Baptist had been resurrected from the dead because Herod had beheaded John the Baptist, and he was sure that John the Baptist was coming back after him. We began reading in verse 30, and the apostles have returned and are gathering to tell Jesus about all that they had experienced, all that they had done, and Jesus realizes that they're tired, that they've done a lot, and they're worn down by it, and he tells them in verse 31 to come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. Now, in that statement, we see that Jesus had care and concern for his disciples. He understood the need for rest that we all have. Imagine how productive we could be if we didn't have to eat and sleep. I mean, we could get a lot done if we didn't have to eat and sleep. But the truth is, we have to eat and sleep. We need that. I know I've reached the age where, you know, if I get 6 or so hours of sleep, I'm content with that. There was a time when I wanted 8 or 9 hours of sleep. But now if I stay in bed much longer than that, my body hurts. I just have to get out of bed. Nowadays, I use my phone to set my alarm clock, and when I set it, it tells me how much time I have until that alarm goes off. And I'm always glad to see when it's about 7 hours or so. You know, I couldn't tell you the last time I saw 8+ hours on there. A lot of times it's 6+ a few minutes afterwards. So we need sleep, and as we age, sometimes that amount of sleep changes. But Jesus knew that our bodies are designed to need rest, and if we don't get enough rest, we can't be productive. While I don't need as much rest as I used to, I still need rest, and I still need to get enough sleep. Jesus was showing compassion and concern for his disciples and their need for rest. However, being tired doesn't necessarily mean that rest supersedes the need to minister to people as well. We'll look at that more in a moment, but there will be times when rest might be delayed because we have a need to minister to someone. Ministry doesn't always happen at convenient times. Jesus understands our limitations, and even in the creation account, we see that God created 6 days and rested on the seventh. God established the principle of rest and encourages us to rest. If we don't stop and rest, we'll burn out no matter what we're doing. Even for those who need less rest, rest is still necessary. Have you ever seen a baby fight sleep? It's not a pretty sight. I mean, parents are getting frustrated. The child's worn out and frustrated. I've literally known a number of people who resorted to putting the baby in the child seat in the car and driving around until the baby fell asleep. When you get to that point, you'll do whatever it takes to get the child to rest. Our dog, Lizzie, she's a good sleeper most of the time, and we're really blessed in the fact that she doesn't wake up all through the night barking at the house, creaking, or the wind blowing and that kind of stuff. She generally sleeps during the night, but she will not sleep in the car. Generally speaking, we don't take her on trips. Most of the time, it'd be a short trip to the park or something like that, or maybe just a little bit around town. But she doesn't sleep in the car. Well, we decided earlier in this baseball season to take her to a baseball game. So it happened to be a doubleheader on a Saturday, so we drove over and we take her there, and she's nosy. You know, so there's all sorts of activity going on. So the whole time we're there, she doesn't sleep, and she has attached herself to my wife. She is Janice's dog. I mean, literally, this is not figurative. This is literal. If we walk in the house and I'm first in the house, she will run past me to Janice, okay? So Janice gets the unfair burden of caring for her when we do something like that. She doesn't like to be separated from Janice. Now she will fuss if I walk away too, but it's still different. She's Janice's dog for sure. But with all the people and the business of the day, she didn't sleep at all during that day while we're at that ball game. And you know, dogs like to sleep. Well, we get back in the car, and you would think after all that busy day that surely she'd go to sleep. Well, she gets in Janice's lap, and you can see her eyelids are just heavy. You know, she's wanting to fall asleep, but she's too nosy. when she's riding, she doesn't fall asleep the whole ride back home. God has designed all animals with a need for rest. We can fight this principle, but it's going to catch up with us at some point. There are times when I don't get enough rest, and you know the reality, you can't ever make up for that. But when you do rest, it helps. It helps restore and gives you strength. Jesus encouraged them to withdraw to a remote place and get some rest. And I'm confident that God would encourage us to make sure we get rest. I'm confident that the Word of God teaches us that we need rest. However, I'm just as certain that the Word of God doesn't teach that we are to retire from serving Him. As long as we have breath in this body, we'll need to find time to rest. But as long as we have breath in this body, we need to serve God. Your role in the body of Christ may change through the years, but the need to serve will always remain. Perhaps you've been taking some time off from serving God through the church. I want to encourage you today to realize God's not done with you. God has a place for you in the body of Christ, and don't ever discount the need to be a person who prays for your church and who prays for the body of Christ. That is a ministry in the church. That is a ministry that is much needed. Jesus had care for his disciples and wanted to see them get the rest they needed, but he didn't give them an exit strategy from serving him. You may think your best days are behind you or that God couldn't possibly use you for his glory in light of what you've done in your life and your past. If God could take a man who would deny him three times and then boldly empower him to stand and say to the Pharisees, the one you persecuted, to the religious leaders of the day, for Peter to be able to do that and God to be able to do that in him, he can use you and me in spite of our past failures. So we see Jesus cared for his disciples. But secondly, I want you to see in this text that Jesus cared for the people. When Jesus encouraged the disciples to withdraw from the crowd, verse 31 tells us that there had been so much activity, they hadn't had time to eat. Now, I would assume that was true of Jesus as well. So he hasn't eaten at this time. So they get on a boat together and they sail to a remote place. Now, the text doesn't tell us where it was, but it does tell us that many saw them leaving and recognized them and ran on foot and arrived ahead of them. Clearly, the boat they were on must have been obvious. There was something about the boat that people recognized. Commentators say that it's likely it was one of the apostles' boat when they were a fisherman. I've sort of surmised that it was probably Peter's boat, and the reason it was so obvious is Peter had put one of those stickers on it that said, "Jesus is my co-pilot." But I'm just speculating on that. So I don't know how long it took them to make this distance, but when they arrived, they're still tired and they're hungry. But there was a large crowd. But notice Jesus didn't send the crowd away. He didn't ask for time to get a meal or to gather his thoughts. The Word of God tells us that he had compassion on them, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were looking for guidance. The Word of God was teaching them the truth of God. The Word, Jesus, was teaching them himself, the truth. He was teaching them. He was pouring into them. Jesus made it clear that his care for people was greater than his desire for food or rest. I have to confess, if I get hungry enough, I'm going to have a hard time ministering to somebody. I'm going to be thinking a lot about the hunger. If I get tired enough, I'm going to have a real hard time ministering to someone. However, we don't have to worry about God ever being too tired to care for us. God is always there. He is always on the job for us and protecting us. The psalmist understood this. In Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3, we find, "I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber." God is our protector and he never sleeps. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it is hard for me to wrap my mind around the reality that God doesn't need sleep. You know, there are times when I want to stay up a little longer, I want to do something a little longer, and my body just says, "Nope, you ain't doing that." You know, you can be sitting there in the middle of a show or a sports program or something of that sort, and then all of a sudden, it ain't on no more because you're gone. You know, you're starting to saw logs or whatever. You're sleeping through it. The reality is, Our bodies simply have a hard time going on, but God never, ever sleeps. And I also find it hard to wrap my brain around the reality that God can hear all of our prayers at one time. It doesn't matter how many of us are talking to him at one time. God hears every one of our prayers, and he specifically and intimately responds to that. I can promise you, if two or three people came up to me and were all talking to me at once, one of two things would be true. Either I would hear nothing from any of them except noise, or I would hear one of them and not the others. Because I can't do that, but God has the ability to take in all of that. God has the ability to listen to us, to pay attention to what we're saying and respond intimately to our needs. God never gets confused. God never forgets our needs. You may be sitting here this morning thinking that that's not true, that God has forgotten you. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I can tell you on the authority of God's word that he hasn't forgotten you. You may have moved away from him. He may not have answered the way you wanted something to be answered, but God has not forgotten you. I realize that some of you have asked God to heal a loved one, but he didn't, at least not on this side of heaven. I realize that some of you have been through things that are unspeakable, that no one deserves to go through, and God didn't keep you from experiencing that. You're angry at God, and you're hurt that he allowed that. I get it. I don't understand why God allows good people to suffer. However, I realize that I don't know what he knows. I realize that I can trust him to do everything for the good of those who love him. I realize that he will never leave or forsake me. I realize that he can handle my doubts and he can handle my anger. I also realize that my feelings are not the truth. His word is. I've never been a real big fan of 3D movies. Some people love 3D movies. I don't like 3D movies. It just kind of feels weird to sit in a 3D movie. I don't know. I don't really need stuff coming out of the screen at me. You know, that's just, I'm not a big fan of that. But there used to be, I think there still is, I'm pretty sure there still is, a 4D theater at Stone Mountain. Now, if you've never experienced 4D, it's 3D kicked up a notch. Okay, so basically you go in there and you get your 3D glasses, and for the germaphobes in the room, somebody else has worn them. So, just a reality. So you go in and you put on these 3D glasses, and you go and you sit down in your seat, and everything that's going on the screen is 3D. You know, it's that typical 3D stuff. Stuff's coming out. But the difference in a 4D theater is that there are other things that interact with that. So when you're looking at the screen and something splashes water, guess what? There's something on the back of the seat in front of you that throws water on you when it splashes water on the screen. Now, it looks like something from the screen came and got you wet, but the reality is that ain't the truth. You felt water, yes, but it wasn't from the screen. It was from the chair in front of you. That's the problem with feelings. We get the illusion that God has forgotten us, that God has forsaken us, that God is angry at us, that God has rejected us, when in reality, none of those things is the truth. God will not forsake you. God will do what is best for you. God will see you through. God does always heal the believer from illness, sometimes in this life, other times in heaven. That's the promise we have from God. You may be thinking that Jesus doesn't care for you today, but I want to assure you, he does. He cares, and he has not forgotten you. Don't listen to what your feelings are saying. Trust his promises. He is more than able to see you through whatever you're facing, and you are more than a conqueror through his strength. That's not my philosophy. That's not my idea. That's his word. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. Trust his promises today and know that he cares for you. So we see that Jesus cared for his disciples and Jesus cared for the people. But finally, I want you to see that Jesus cares for our needs. By now, the disciples are really tired and they're hungry, and it's grown late in the day. It was probably sometime between 3 and 6 in the afternoon, and they look around at this large crowd and they know they haven't eaten anything. They also, let's just be real, they also know they haven't eaten anything. Okay, so they're tired and hungry. There's this big crowd around. They haven't eaten, so they do something logical. They look to Jesus and say, Hey, Jesus, you know, you think it'd be a good idea to go ahead and send them on out, send them home. They need to go. They need to go find something to eat. We're hungry. I'm sure they're hungry. Send them on out. Let them go take care of themselves. And then do you notice Jesus' response to them? I would love to have heard the tone of his voice and to have seen the expression on his face, because I'm sarcastic, so I just don't know. Was he being funny? Was he being serious? Was there a smirk on his face? I would love to know that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I would love to know. But Jesus said, why don't you feed them something? Now, the disciples at this point, they've got to be a little bit, I'll put it politely, miffed by that. They're a little upset by that. And they respond, so what do you want us to do? Buy over a half a year's wages worth of food and feed them? Because that's what the response is in the text. That's what it equates to, over half a year's wages. They say, so you want us to spend over half a year? It'd take that much money to buy enough food just to give these folks a little something to eat. And then look at Jesus' response. Hey, how much bread you got? And he wasn't asking about cash. I know some of you lived through the 60s, you know, you still, bread, that's cash, right? No. How much bread, how many loaves do you have? Now, I got to admit, like I said before, I just owned up to the fact I'm sarcastic sometimes. I got to admit, if Jesus said that to me and I'm walking away to go find out how many loaves we got, I'm thinking in my head, dude, it doesn't matter how much we got. It ain't enough for this crowd. But you know what happens. They come back and they have five loaves and two fish. And then the most incredible thing happens. Jesus begins to pray over it and breaks bread and begins to serve the crowd. Now he tells them first, you know, get them in 50s and hundreds, get them in groups and get them spread out. And here again, we're not told in the text exactly how that played out. I mean, I kind of envision in my mind as Jesus is breaking this and praying over it, that it just never depletes from his hands, that it never depletes from his hand. He's constantly giving it out, and yet he still has in his hand. I mean, I just can't, you know, I can't wrap my head around that. But the text tells us that he fed the entire crowd bread and fish until they were full. And then he looked at the disciples and said, go grab the leftovers. And how many baskets full did they bring back? 12. How many disciples were there? 12. Remember before I mentioned to you that earlier in this chapter, Jesus sent them out and he said, don't take anything with you. Trust that God will provide. It's no accident that this happens right after that. They got to see God do some pretty incredible things through them as they were casting out demons and things of that sort, as they were dealing with people and bringing healing to people. And now they get to see God do this incredible miracle of feeding a crowd that was a minimum of 15,000 people, because if you add in wives and children and all that sort, it had to be at least 15,000 people, maybe 20,000 plus. We don't really know, but we know for sure it was at least 5,000 men. I don't care if it was 5,000 or 20,000, it was still amazing that God would feed with five loaves and two fish, and he did, and 12 baskets left over. You know what Jesus was saying? You trusted me to do what I instructed you to do. Now I'm going to pour out God's blessing on you and allow you to see how God will bless you. They each had their own basket. Even after they had eaten their fill, they each had their own basket of God's abundance. But isn't that the way God blesses? Isn't that the way that he pours out? God pours out on us in a way that we can't even begin to imagine. He gives us so much more than we deserved. I've learned through the years that God takes care of all of my needs. Sometimes I get confused about what I think a need might be, but the reality is God understands what my needs really are. The truth is he's given me more than I've ever needed, but the greater truth is my greatest need he settled nearly 2,000 years ago at Calvary. If the only thing he had ever done for me, if the only thing he had ever done for us was to die on the cross for our sins and to walk out of that grave, you and I would still have everything we need. But he does so much more. He stepped up and did what I couldn't do. And the great news is he did it for you too. You may not realize it yet today, but your greatest need is to know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. He's not just a concept. He's not just an idea. He is a living, risen Savior. And while he died for everyone, that death only applies to those who place their faith in him. If you've never asked his forgiveness, if you've never invited him into your life, you don't know forgiveness through him, but he wants you to. The Word of God, not my opinion, the Word of God says it is God's desire that none should perish. God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. When people say, well, how come God would send good people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go to hell by rejecting God. That doesn't have to be you today. If you've never asked his forgiveness, if you've never invited him into your life, right now, today, on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, you can experience new life in your life today. You see, the reality is, if you've not placed your faith in him, you're dead spiritually. And if he returns or your life comes to an end, you will spend your eternity in a lake of fire. Folks, there's not going to be a second chance. It's what we do with him in this life. But if you will ask his forgiveness, if you will invite him into your life, if you will place your faith in him, you will experience his forgiveness and you can know that you have eternal life through him. Don't miss that today. Christian, I pray that you're living in the blessing that God has already extended to you. I pray that you're living as though you serve a risen Savior, because you do. The world doesn't have power over you any longer. Sin doesn't have power over you any longer because of what Christ did for you. Live in that victory today. We sang about it, victory in Jesus, because indeed we have victory. I don't know what your hurt is today. I don't know what burdens you're carrying. But I know this, he does. And he's more than able to heal whatever's hurting within you. Would you give it to him today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for this wonderful Easter Sunday as we celebrate your resurrection, as we celebrate what you've done for us. God, I pray for anyone here that's never placed their faith in you, that never has never invited you into their life. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. But Lord, for so many others that have trusted you, who do know you, God, I pray we're living in the victory that you claimed over death and the grave. I pray that we're living with that joy, with the abundance of your blessing in our lives, Lord, not the world's blessing, not material things, but Lord, those spiritual blessings that you pour out on us from knowing you. God, help us to walk with you. Help us to live for you and to glorify you. During this invitation, God, we give this time to you and we ask you to work in our hearts, whatever needs, whatever concerns. God, we know you are intimately aware of each one. And we ask you, through the power of your Holy Spirit right now, to minister to each need. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen.